Today's shiur is about what year the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in and why it makes a difference to us. What year was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed in? And to begin with, I want to approach it from a little bit of a different angle, and that is, how do we know that this year, 5775, Tavshin Ayin Hei, is a Shemitah year? Shemitah is being observed this year in Eretz Yisrael. Everyone's going to sign a prosbul at the end of this year. Maybe some people, to be machmir for the rush, signed a prosbul at the beginning of the year. How do we know that this year is a Shemitah year? Or do we know that this year is a Shemitah year? To begin with. So in order to just get a sense of what's happening, I want to look at the first chart for a second. The first chart is a chart of all of the centuries between the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash and nowadays. You could see that the top line has the number of the century, 3800, 3900, 4000, 4100, 4200, etc., all the way to 5700. And in the column under the 5700s, you see that the year 75 is in a box. That's the current year, 5775, on the front of the first page. Now, if you look, you can see that I'm counting the years by sevens. The previous Shemitah was 5768, and before that 5761, and before that 5754, etc. It goes in groups of seven. The next one's going to be in 82, then followed by 89, followed by 96, etc. Now, if you look, I provided you with the list of Shemitah years for the last three centuries. And you'll see that there seems to be a pattern that develops. If you look at the number of the year which had Shemitah in each of the centuries. So if you look, for instance, at the one that's parallel to our year, 5775, you'll discover that in the last century, Shemitah was 5677. In other words, it's 2 years, you add two, and then the century before that, in the 55th century, it's really the 56th century, but in that century, it was 5579. And so basically what happens is that each century that you move backwards in time, you add on an extra 2 years, and that's how you figure out when Shemitah is. When I was in high school, when I got bored during class, I used to make multiplication tables. I used to just start at, 1 to 10, and then I would go on and on and on and on and on, all the way as far as I got until the class was finished. So I left the chart blank. In case anyone gets bored, you can fill in the numbers yourselves. You can just keep on going. 75, 77, 79, 81, 83, 85, etc., etc. But there are a couple of lines which I think are critical for us to go through ourselves. And that is that in the year 5600 was a Shemitah year. And the year 5502 was a Shemitah year. 5404 was a Shemitah year. 5306, 5208, etc. I'm following now, going from right to left on the first chart. If you look in the 56th, that's the year 5656, go down to 00, and then move leftwards, and we're just following the same pattern. We're adding on 2 years for every century. So it's 5600, 5502, 5404, 5306, etc. And that takes you, as you see, all the way back to 3836. So in the century that begins with 3800, with 38, so the year 36 was a Shemitah year, and the year 29 was a Shemitah year, and 29, as you can see, is in a box. Why is 29 in a box? What's special about the year 3829? It was the Shemitah year which, according to the best calculations of most Rishonim, was most proximate to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Now, was it the Shemitah year that took place right after the Churban Beis HaMikdash? Was it the Shemitah year that took place right before the Churban Beis HaMikdash? Was it the Shemitah year during which the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? That we'll see may be a machlokes. That's why the shiur is about what year was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed and why does it make a difference to us. But the year 3829, which was a Shemitah year based on our reckoning, based on what we hold nowadays, if you just project backwards from when we observe Shemitahs nowadays, following that list all the way backwards, you end up with the year 3829 being a Shemitah year. if you look on the second side of the of this sheet, all the way at the bottom, you'll see there's a Gemara in Arachin. Arachin Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis through Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. I just want to go through this Gemara. We may have recourse to refer to it a number of times over the next hour, but this is what the Gemara says. Kishacharav Abayis Barishona, when the Beis Hamikdash the first time was destroyed, also Ayom Tisha B'Av Haya, that day it was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Umoitzai Shabbos Haya, it was destroyed on a Motzai Shabbos. Umoitzai Shviyas Haisa, it was destroyed in the year following Shmita. Umishmartai Shal Yehayariv Haisa, it was destroyed on the watch of Yehayariv, that was one of the watches of Kehanim. And the Braisa continues onwards and it tells a story about how the people of Yayariv, they were supposed to be singing the Shir Shalyoim, and actually they were supposed to be singing the Shir Shalyoim of Motzai Shabbos. And instead, by accident, they sang the Shir Shalyoim of Wednesday. And the Gemara talks about the significance of the Shir Shalyoim of Wednesday and why that's the most appropriate Shir Shalyoim to accompany the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, Kel Nekama Yis Hashem, Kel Nekama Yis Haifia, If you not say Shofei Ta'aretz, Hashiv, Gimul, Al Geim, it's a song that's all about our anticipation and our expectation of God's dealing out justice to those who are too proud, overly proud, of God's dealing out justice to those who are evil. And it concludes with some very, very, very powerful words invoking that God should get up, so to speak, and take revenge against those who have been trampling upon his reputation and his values. And so the Gemara talks about why that's particularly the most fitting of the Shirois Shalyoim to be sung to accompany the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But then the Gemara continues and asks a question. It said, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, Motzai Shabbos, the year after Shemitah, during the watch of Yahyariv, V'chein B'Shnia, the second Beis HaMikdash, was also destroyed during those four. How can that be, says the Gemara? How could the second Beis HaMikdash have been destroyed in the year after Shemitah? Let's just make a calculation. Mechti. Bayis Sheni Kamakam, how many years was the second Beis HaMikdash there for? It was for 420 years. Tafchaf, 420 years. So 400 years make four Yovels. So imagine, we started counting the first year of the second Beis HaMikdash. Eight Yovels. Makes eight Yovels. But basically you get year number one, then 7 is a Shemitah, 14 is a Shemitah, 21, 28, 35, 42, 49, 50 is a Yovel, right? 51 is the first year of the next cycle, 57 is Shemitah, 64, 71, 78, 85, 92, 99, then 100 is a Yovel, and 101 again is the first year of a Shemitah cycle. And so you have from 0 to 100, then from 101 to 200, from 201 to 300, and 301 to 400, and the year 401 is again the first year of a Shemitah cycle. So 407 is a Shemitah, and 414 is a Shemitah, and then let's count out. 415 is the first year of the cycle, 16 is the second year, 17 is the third year, 18 is the fourth year, 19 is the fifth year, and 420 is the sixth year of a Shemitah cycle. So how can the Braisa have said that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on a Motzai Shemitah, in other words, in year one, right, of the Shemitah cycle, the year right after Shemitah, if anything, the calculation of 420 years leads you to say that it was destroyed in the year prior to Shemitah? So this is the Gemara's question. The year after Shemitah, the year before Shemitah? And to this, the Gemara gives three answers. Answer number one is that this braisa, hamani Reb Yehuda hi, it reflects the opinion of Reb Yehuda, who doesn't count Yovel twice every 100 years, but rather who counts Yovel twice every 98 years. Reb Yehuda says that shnas nun oile lekan ulekan, it counts as the Yovel for the previous cycle and as the first year for the next cycle. So let's just count up what we have now. You have the first year of the Beis HaMikdash, is 1, 7 is Shemitah, 14, 28, right, 21, 28, 35, 42, 49. The year 50 is Yovel, but it's also the first year of the next cycle. So you get 56 is a Shemitah instead of 57, 56, then 63, 70, 77, right, 70, 84, 91, 98 is a Shemitah, then 105 is a Shemitah, etc. Then go to the next century, and again you'll subtract 2, so you'll get 203, and then you'll get...
Okay, 98.
Right, 301, and then, right, what comes next? So just... 399 is a Shemitah, and then 406 is a Shemitah, and then 413 is a Shemitah, and 420 is a Shemitah. So how do we fix things? By saying that the Braisa reflects Rav Yehuda, you've now gotten it that it wasn't destroyed the year before Shemitah, it was destroyed on a Shemitah year, but you haven't gotten it to be destroyed in a Motzai Shemitah. So how does this fix anything to say that it was destroyed on, according to Rav Yehuda, it was destroyed on Shemitah? That's what you would expect.
When did they start calculating Shemitah? What was the first year that they started?
So if you look at the third answer, the Gemara is going to debate that back and forth.
And the first answer?
Right now we're assuming that it was the year that the second Beis HaMikdash, whenever we start counting the 420 years of the second Beis HaMikdash, that's also when we start counting the Shemitah cycles anew. Now you could have said that one should depend on when they started building it and one should depend on when they finished building it, but the assumption right now is that whatever we're counting 420 from, that's also where we're counting Shemitah cycles from.
And it's only when Bnei Yisrael came into Tisar, right? They didn't do calculate Shemitah in the Midbar.
Well, that's the first Beis HaMikdash. Here we're talking about the second Beis HaMikdash.
No, but I'm saying once they entered Eretz Yisrael, that's when they started calculating.
Not even when they entered. 14 years after, because they needed to conquer Eretz Yisrael and to split Eretz Yisrael up. So 14 years, and then in the first Beis HaMikdash, that's when they started counting, 14 years after their arrival in Eretz Yisrael. For the second Beis HaMikdash, right now, we're assuming that it starts out from the year that the Beis HaMikdash, that we began counting those 420 years.
Is that the Shiva period?
This was in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. As well, much, much, much later. So here's the difficulty. So the Gemara seems to be satisfied by saying that the Braisa reflects Rav Yehuda's opinion, even though, according to Rav Yehuda, if you make the calculation, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in... It was destroyed on the Shemitah year and not on Motzai Shemitah. So there are three different ways to explain how this Gemara works according to Rav Yehuda. So I'll invite you just to turn back to the first page, first side. In the second chart, it's a very, very small chart, and it demonstrates something which we always have to keep in mind when we're trying to build up a calendar based on Tanakh. And that is that Tanakh calculates years, birthdays, ages in two different ways. Sometimes we'll say that a person is a certain number of years old if they have lived for 365 times that number. So for instance, in English, when we say I am blank years old, what we mean is that I've been alive for that number times 365 and a quarter, plus change, plus a couple of days. And we only say that we turn the next year, that we grow 1 year older, after we've completed that entire year. And so if we say the Beis HaMikdash stood for 420 years, what we might mean is that the Beis HaMikdash stood for 365 and a quarter days times 420, and even if there's a little change afterwards, it still counts. It's called 420 years because the Beis HaMikdash stood for 420 full years. Now that change could even be 364 days. Right? It could be 364 days, and we would still say that the Beis HaMikdash was only 420 years old when it was destroyed, because it was destroyed one day before its 421st birthday. And so that's what you see, right, in this chart over here. If you assume that the Beis HaMikdash was let's say that it was built in in 10 Av on 3409. Let's go with the second line for the time being. It was built on 10 Av 3409. It was destroyed on 9 Av on 3830. So then you'll discover it was 420 years and 11 months and a couple of days change, right? And even though calendar year wise, if you count from 3409 to 3830, you'll discover that there are 421 calendar years. There's 420 years, may ace le ace, from the moment it was built to the moment it was destroyed, but those 420 years span 421 years on the calendar. There's the year that it was built, 3409, then going to 3830, you get 421 years. Now, I just made that date up, just for the purposes of illustration. It was probably built either on the 3rd of Adar or the 1st of Iyar. But those are different dates that we find in Sefer Ezra that are associated with the building and the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. But I just did it for the sake of illustration that it could have been built on 10th or 11th of Av, and it still would be 420 years old when it was destroyed, even though it really was around for 420 years and 11 months and a couple of days. If that's the case, so then we have to make this calculation according to Rabbi Yehuda again. Starting in 3409, let's say that that's when we start counting for the Shemitah and the Yovel cycle, you count to year 420. 420, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is a Shemitah year. So 420 would be 3829. That would have been a Shemitah year, which is indeed consistent with the chart that we have, that 3829 is a Shemitah year. And then the Beis HaMikdash would have been destroyed in the 421st calendar year, right, which is 3830, which is really Motsa'i Shemitah. So that's one solution how you get in the Beis HaMikdash only stood for 420 years, but it was still destroyed on a Motsa'i Shavuos, because those 420 years are me'eis le'eis from day to day, but they span 421 calendar years, and so the first year of the Shemitah cycle was the year, let's say, 3409, and the next Shemitah was 3416, etc., so that 3829 is Shemitah, and the Churban HaBayis took place in 3830. That is the suggestion of the Mahari Korkus on the Rambam, commentary on the Rambam. That's one answer. Second answer makes an interesting suggestion. This is the answer that's adapted by Rashi, it's the answer that's adapted by the Rosh, by many of the Rishoni Ashkenaz. And that is that we have to know, what does it mean that the year of the Churban was a Motsa'i Shemitah? Kishecharav HaBayis Barishona, when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, V'chein B'Shnia, when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the year of the Churban was a Motsa'i Shemitah. So what Rashi and the Rosh point out is that the year of the Churban doesn't have to mean the year in which the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Because when you talk about a year being characterized by something, if there was a year when the Beis HaMikdash stood for 10 months and 9 days, so that is a year of Binyan HaBayis. The Beis HaMikdash was around for the majority of this year. It's true that for a month and 20 days, the Beis HaMikdash was not around during this year. And it's also true that the act of the Goyim destroying the Beis HaMikdash took place during this year. But fundamentally, the year can't be characterized as a year of destruction, because the majority of the year was a year when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. It was a Shnas HaBayis, not a Shnas HaChorban. How optimistic can we be The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed during that year, but it's not a Shana Shel Churban. It's not a year of destruction, because the Beis HaMikdash was standing during that year for 10 months plus. So the first year of the Churban, the Shnas HaChurban, the first year that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, was the year after the actual act of destruction took place. So if that's the case, it could be that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in 3829. It could be that it was destroyed in 3829. But in spite of that, the year 3829 wasn't characterized as a Shnas HaChurban. 3830 was a Shnas HaChurban, and that was Motsa'i Shemitah. So that's the second approach. The first approach says that the Beis HaMikdash stood for 421 calendar years, and so the year 421 was 3830. The second approach says Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in 3829, but the Shnas HaChurban is only counted from 3830. The third approach as well. And the third approach is based on putting together two different answers that the Gemara gives. If you skip ahead for a moment to the third answer that the Gemara gives in Arachin, it says, Rav Ashi says that Hanach Shis Shani Ad Solik Ezra Umakdish, the 6 years between when the Beis HaMikdash began to be built and when Ezra arrived from Bavel and consecrated Eretz Yisrael, those years are not counted for the Shemitah cycle. Those years were still part of the old Shemitah cycle, the Shemitah cycle that they were counting from the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. And the new cycle only began in the 6th year when Ezra came up and was Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael. So before we take this answer on its own, let's just apply this answer to Rev Yehuda. And we'll do our arithmetic again. Instead of counting from year number 1 of the second Beis HaMikdash, will instead count from year number 6 of the second Beis HaMikdash. So year number 6 was the first year of the Shemitah cycle. So 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 was the first Shemitah. Right, which means that according to Rav Yehuda, 110 was the second Shemitah, and 208 was the third Shemitah, and 306 was the fourth Shemitah. Sorry, 306 was 306. I got mixed up the numbers again, so let me start again. The year 6 was 1, so 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 was the first. 110 was the second, 208 was the third, 306 was the fourth, 404, and add 7, you get 411, 418, should start at 7, so that gets me to 419. So Ezra came up in the 7th year, right, so that gets me to 419, and 419 will be a Shemitah year. And then 420 is going to be Motsa'i Shemitah, and it works out perfectly according to Rav Yehuda if you start counting the Shemitah cycles from the year 7 instead of from the year 1. And then you get, so you have three different resolutions for how Rav Yehuda can understand the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the 420th year and also on Motsa'i Shemitah. So now, let's turn our attention to the second answer. The second answer says, Ibois Eino, if you want, I'll tell you, La'olam Rabbanon, that this Braisa that says that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Motsa'i Shemitah reflect the opinion of the Rabbanon. V'chi katani v'chein b'shnia, when we said that the second Beis HaMikdash had all four characteristics of the first Beis HaMikdash, we didn't mean all four. It meant that it shared some of the characteristics of the first Beis HaMikdash's destruction. In other words, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Motzai Shabbos, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Motzai Shabbos. But, unlike the first Beis HaMikdash, which was destroyed on Motzai Shemitah, the second Beis HaMikdash could have been destroyed on any year of the Shemitah cycle. The Gemara is freeing us from the necessity of saying that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in any particular year of the Shemitah cycle. It could have been any year, although based on the Gemara's Kasha, we would expect it to be in the sixth year of a Shemitah cycle. And the Gemara then proves that by saying that the fourth characteristic, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the watch of Yehoyariv, cannot, by any stretch of the imagination, have applied to the second Beis HaMikdash, because there was no watch of Yehoyariv during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. And so therefore, the Gemara proves that we don't mean that all four characteristics were shared by both Korbanos. What we mean is that some of the characteristics, Tisha B'Av, Motzai Shabbos. That's all.
Yehoyariv was what? A Kohen Gadol or what?
He was the father of one of the branches of the Kohanim. The Kohanim were split up into 24 divisions, and each division had 2 weeks of the year. And the divisions were named after the ancestor, the head of the family, the progenitor of that family. So one of the families was descended from Yehoyariv HaKohen. And so that was known as the Mishmeret Yehoyariv.
Not necessarily Kohen Gadol.
No. So according to this second answer of the Gemara, what year was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed in? Was it 38-28, 38-29, 38-30, some other year?
38-30, the year after Shemitah.
But the second answer of the Gemara says that it only was destroyed the year after Shemitah according to Rav Yehuda. According to the Rabbanon, it was destroyed on a different year of the Shemitah cycle. And the best calculation that the Gemara gave, again, going from 0, 100 is a Yovel, 101 is a first year, 107 is a Shemitah again, 200 is a Yovel, 300 is a Yovel, 400 is a Yovel, 407 is a Shemitah, 414 is a Shemitah. And so 420 of the second Beis HaMikdash would have been the sixth year of a Shemitah cycle. And so that means, again, if you're accepting the Gemara's Kasha as accurate, that it was destroyed in the sixth year of a Shemitah cycle, it means that the only candidates, again, assuming our calculation of Shemitah, the one that we observe nowadays, it would have had to been 38-35, or 38-28, or 38-21. It would have had to be the year before Shemitah. So let's just place it for the time being at 38-28. According to the first answer of the Gemara, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed either in 38-30, that was the contention of the Mari Korkus, or in the year 38-29, that was the contention of Rashi and of the Rosh. And according to the second answer of the Gemara, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 38-28, that's basically the closest year that we can figure out that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in. 38-28.
I mean, it depends on which calculations you use, what you're saying?
It depends on a number of things, but yes, it depends on which calculations you use, which year it was destroyed in. First year after Shemitah, the year right before Shemitah, the year of Shemitah, that'll get you 38-28, 38-29, or 38-30. And it's not really clear. The Gemara seems to be unclear. It itself did not know with 100% certainty what was the year in which the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We have a range of 3 years, and it's not even a range of 3 years because the Gemara never committed itself to a particular century in a particular time, but we'll figure out in a moment why I'm using 38-29 as the ultimate Shemitah, the last Shemitah, or the first Shemitah after the Korban, why is it that I'm centering everything around 38-29?
Why are we so concerned about what the Yom Shemitah fell? How does it relate to us today?
Right now we're reverse engineering. We said we're observing Shemitah in 5775, so let's reverse engineer. We'll figure out what year was the last Shemitah of the Beis HaMikdash, 38-29. But what happens if you don't reverse engineer, but you forward engineer? You start out with the year of the Korban, and you make certain assumptions about when the Korban took place relative to Shemitah. You might end up with a whole different calculation for when we should be observing Shemitah. Right, imagine for a moment, right, just mix and match. Let's say that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in 38-28, and that we also pass in that it was destroyed on a Motsa'i Shviyas. So that would mean that 38-27 was Shemitah year, in which case, right, that's 2 years earlier than our chart, and then we should have been observing 57-73 as a Shemitah year, not 57-75. So the year of the Korban, if you assume that the Korban took place on a certain year of the Shemitah cycle, whether it's the year before Shemitah, whether it's the year after Shemitah, and then you calculate forwards, you might end up with an entirely different picture of when we should be observing Shemitah nowadays. So I did it for the sake of clarity. I'm just using the calculation that we happen to observe, because the Rambam says that Hamaisa, Kabbalah Hamaisa, or Amudim, they're pillars of how we should live our lives, and so we should figure out first and foremost how the different historic pieces of historical evidence are consistent with the practice that we have received from our ancestors. But at the same time, we're also trying to realize that the practice that we've received from our ancestors is not fully backed up, but it's not, you can't construct that picture even from the sources of Torah Shebichsav plus Torah Shebaal Peh. You don't end up with a picture that points clearly to the fact that 5775 is a Shemitah year. The picture could point in many other directions, 5773, right, being just one of them. And we really need to rely, as the Rambam says, on the Kabbalah and the Maisa. We do what our ancestors did, what our fathers did, and what their fathers did. Everyone's been observing Shemitah according to this chart for hundreds of years, and so that's what we do as well. But it's not as if we can point to a Gemara that says with absolute clarity that 5775 is a Shemitah year. Yes?
Are we sure that the first Korban, the first Beis HaMikdash was more than 10 years, correct?
Are we certain of it?
Yeah.
I'm certain of it. But, okay.
You add 70 years, and then you add another 420 years for the second.
Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there. So let's.
There is a gap there.
I want to ask you a question. With all the computer technology that is today, why can't we take those numbers from the first? We know Shemitah for certain, the first base of Mikdash, you just plug it into the computer, and multiples of 7 come out to 2015 and see where did Shemitah fall?
Because the cycle started anew when the second Beis HaMikdash was built.
So it wasn't then an actual Shemitah. If the first one was a different then than the second, how do you compensate for it? I mean, if you do 1 year, 2 years difference, then it's not a real Shemitah, the second one. Weren't the first ones more realistic than the second ones?
We start counting the Shemitahs from when Eretz Yisrael is consecrated.
Okay.
During the years of the Galus, it was deconsecrated. And so the Shemitahs were just going on momentum there. It wasn't that the...
But it still should have followed the first when they put down the years of the Shemitah. This is when it started. It's from its starting line. You don't make a different starting line because they were in Galus. You keep on counting.
But
they
kept
holding from it.
During Galus Babel, they kept on counting, right, except that there was no one there. Right? And then when they came back, they started a new count because they had to reinvest Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha. Like the Rambam says that we read yesterday, that when Mashiach comes, no matter what year the Shemitah cycle we're in, if Mashiach comes in 3 years and he consecrates Eretz Yisrael anew and the land of the extra three nations, so we're going to start a new Shemitah cycle. So even though 5778 Right now, we are anticipating that it's going to be year number 3 of a Shemitah cycle. If Mashiach comes in 5778, it's going to turn into year number 1. We're anticipating that the next Shemitah is going to be in 5782. But if Mashiach comes in 5781, or even in 5782, 5782 will stop being Shemitah, right? I think. And then it'll start being the first year of a Shemitah cycle, and 5788 will be the next Shemitah. That's a possibility. We might wait 13 years till the next Shemitah.
Well, Kiddush HaChodesh was done by the Sanhedrin, right? So it could have varied, but he's saying that there's a calculation that's fixed. It has nothing to do with the Sanhedrin that could change it. Well, if you're saying Mashiach comes, then there would be a new count.
Yeah.
Yes, because there is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah on Bedin to count. It's a mashmah, the same way you have a mitzvah each yachid to count sefirah, there is a mitzvah on Sanhedrin to count the oblot every year. So they're going to start a new count.
De novo.
That's what it is.
I'm going to start from the beginning.
Right, that's what we saw yesterday. At the end of yesterday's shiur, we mentioned from Reb Chaim Soloveitchik 3 possible reasons why we'll have to start counting anew when Mashiach comes. Right, the one that is most consistent with the theme that's sort of bound together all of the shiurim over the past 2 weeks is that since we're going to get extra territory that's part of Eretz Yisrael HaKedosha, that we're going to consecrate new territory, perhaps a lot of new territory, with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Mirat Hashem Bekarov.
Right.
So the Shemitah cycle for those new territories is going to have to start from the year in which they're consecrated. And in order not to have a one Shemitah cycle for the new territories and one Shemitah cycle for the old territories, we'll just standardize it and count all of the Shemitah cycles in all of the parts of Eretz Yisrael from the year that the new territories, that the Keni, the Kenizi, and the Kadmoni are going to be counting from. That was one of the 3 answers that Reb Chaim gave about why it is that everyone agrees that when Mashiach comes, we're going to start counting a new Shemitah cycle.
Who's Ein Beit Lelzit Lovu now? And El Neshibut Machos Belfar, the only difference between Lelzit Lovu. So how can, there's not supposed to be any differences? But Shemitah is Ein Beit.
But just like in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, we restarted, so in the times of Mashiach, we'll restart also. It's not something that's going to be unique to the times of Mashiach. It's going to be something that replicates and imitates a procedure that was already performed in the times of Ezra and the second Beis HaMikdash.
The Ein Bein doesn't apply.
So let's just turn for a moment to the second side, and we will deal with the question of, let's see if we can figure out, just based on what we know about Jewish history, let's see if we can figure out when the Churban Beis HaMikdash took place. So I have here this chart, which goes through the way that we establish the chronology, the way that we establish the timeline of Jewish history. And it's all pretty much all based on Psukim, with, as you see, 3 exceptions, which I marked with a question mark. So let's just go through it, and you have to check my arithmetic here, because I caught one mistake already, and Baruch Hashem, I fixed it before I printed this, but could be that there are other mistakes as well.
Why? There'll be a reason for the question mark, right? What particular reason for the question mark?
The reason is my own ignorance, because I didn't know any psukim that seemed that supported the numbers that are given there. Now, there are oral traditions, there's a Mesorah and Torah Shabbal Peh that support traditions, but the Psukim themselves are not 100% explicit about those numbers.
Are we sure the date of the Churban? Do we know the date?
We don't.
586 BCE, how is it?
586
BCE.
Of the first Beis HaMikdash.
The first and 70 AD of the second.
So we'll have to figure that out, because right now
says
we're...
It in the Eliyahu.
Yeah. So the question is, where did he get it from? The question is, where did
he was my neighbor.
So the question is, where did he get it from? And I'm trying to demonstrate that if you look at different sources in Chazal and different sources in Tanakh, you may actually, depending on which sources you look at, and which sources you compare and contrast with one another, you may actually arrive at a different number. You can arrive at a number of different numbers from Chazal, and we're not absolutely certain when the Churban was, even though we like to say that people like to have a sense of certainty, so we like to tell them that our best guess is 58-30 or 58-28. I don't know which one is our best guess even. 38-28 or 38-30, and I'm not sure which one is our best guess, right? But we'll have to figure it out. So I actually am a little bit partial to 38-30, but that way the breis is going to be literal that it was destroyed in the year after Shemitah. But so let's just go through for a second, and we don't have to go through the psukim for all of them, but I'd like to go through the psukim for some of them. Okay, so the first question that I want to start out with is, what year was Adam created in?
What year?
What year?
Zero.
What year?
He was created on the sixth day. There was no years yet.
No, but he said what year?
No, it was zero. Well, he just said that as long as you live,
zero.
When you start, when you're 365 days old, you're a year old. You don't start the year old when you're born.
Right.
But you're still born.
So it was sixth day of the creation. There was no years yet.
No, it's year one.
No, 25 years old.
But the Rebbe asked the question.
He said, what year was
it? But he asked the question.
He didn't say how old he was when he was born.
Rosh Hashanah.
He didn't say how old he was when he was born. He said, what year was he born?
What?
Is there a year zero? Even in the secular calendar, is there a year zero?
It's the beginning of year one. It's the first day of year one.
Each could
be year zero.
Year one.
But it's still the year zero. He's right. It's still the year zero.
Rosh Hashanah, he was born on the Rosh Hashanah.
Right, on Erev Shabbos, which was...
It should be Rosh Hashanah. The first day of Rosh Hashanah.
Actually, Shabbos
was
his first day.
He was born on Shabbos.
Right. That's right.
So I said, it's zero. When a kid is 6 months old, he's not a year old.
Okay, I'm not going to try to resolve this dispute, but I think that we need to keep in mind that it could be, when we're counting calendar years from creation, that if you're using Adam HaRishon, the time that Adam HaRishon was created, it might be, right, that you're supposed to be starting from zero. And it might be that you're supposed to be starting from one. So that already injects a little bit of uncertainty into all of our calculations, because there's 1 year of unclarity. When we talk about Adam HaRishon, let's say it says in Parak Hey, Pasuk Gimel, that Vayichi Adam Shloshim U'Me'as Shana, that Adam lived for 130 years, Vayoled B'dimuso Kitzalmo Vayikra Et Shmo Sheitz. And he had a son whom he named Shace. So Adam lived for 130 years, and he had a son named Shace. So in what year, counting from Brias HaOlam, was Shace born?
What year was 34?
No, Adam was born in year 1, 130 years later. I didn't tell you that.
20 years old. When you're born, is it the 21st year already? When your 20th birthday, does it automatically start the next year?
You mean the difference of 1 year is what you're saying, Stephen?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you another question. What month and what day was Chase born on? Does that make a difference?
Was it during the daytime or night?
We're not worried about the Brit Mila.
Counting from Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Assuming for the time being that we're counting from Tishrei. So when we say Hayom Haras Olam, we assume that the world was created in Tishrei. So let's even just say for the time being that Adam, the first year of Adam's life, was the first year of Brias Olam. the second year of Adam's life was the second year of Bias Olam, etc. So when it says Adam lived for 130 years, it means that we're in year 130 or 131? We're in year 130.
First day, he's on year 131. He's in one year 131, but it's 130 years.
It's 130 years, he's right. He's right. It's 130 years, but it's the first year of 131. He's right. I don't need any question, he's right.
It depends on what the Chumash means.
But you're already 1 year old.
That he was 130. Does it mean he was in his 130th year and that's when Shesh was born? Or he had already lived 130 years and in the following year Shesh was born? So you don't know what the Chumash exactly means.
Right. I'll give you a third possibility. Oh. Maybe it means that he was in his 130th calendar year, which we know could be 129 years and 2 days. It could be that he was born, let's say, on let's say, because we know that he was born on Rosh Hashanah, but let's say he had been born on Chav Tes Elul, and now it's Beis Tishrei, and so you end up really with 129 years and 2 days, right? But that counts as 130 years because it's the 130th calendar year.
That's when you count kings. That, right?
Wait, yes.
Wait a minute, excuse me, 1 second. Already, I just thought of something. Adam HaRishon wasn't born as a baby. He was born 20 years old.
He was born
20 years old.
He was
already
born in the body of a 20-year-old.
I don't care what body. He was 20 years old when he was born. When Hashem created him, he was 20 years old.
It wasn't a baby.
Who said he was 20? It wasn't a baby. He was 20 years old. It was an hour already. So already 130.
Yeah, so maybe it was 1,000 years plus. I mean,
so 130 minus 20.
Who said he was 20?
Plus 20 should.
Say that.
It's an interesting, you're saying that when we say 130, we mean that biologically he was 130 years old, and not chronologically. That's what you want to say.
Okay. Why don't we want to say? Why don't we say what we're supposed to say? Where does that come from? I feel like saying something. How do we know he's 20 years old? He's high visa b'nei shamayim at age 20. Don't make it so hard. You're saying he's high visa b'nei shamayim.
Okay, I'm going to speed up the pace a little bit because I want to at least finish this chart by the end of today. So basically, so Shesh was born, let's say, in the year 130. Now Shesh, it says, was 105 years old when he gave birth to Enosh. Now what day was Enosh's birthday? Was it also Rosh Hashanah? Or was it sometime in the middle of the year?
We don't know.
So basically, if you assume that Adam and Shesh and Enosh and Canaan and Mahalalel and Yared, all of these were born on Rosh Hashanah, so then you end up with a perfect list where you could establish a chronology on the basis of their birthdays. Right. If you assume that each of them was born on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, for instance, and we know, for instance, when Yitzchak Avinu was born, it was on the first day of Pesach, on Tesvav Nisan, right? If you assume that they were born, let's just say for the sake of argument, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, then you end up that between every two people, right, let's say Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, you end up with an extra year. Right? Just imagine that. If Enosh was born on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and then Canaan was born on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, etc. So then you end up between the two of them with one extra year. So whenever we make a calendar on the basis of these psukim, we are assuming that just like Adam HaRishon was created on Rosh Hashanah, so too all of his descendants going down through this whole list were all born on Rosh Hashanah or close enough to Rosh Hashanah that it doesn't impact on the calculation of years from Bries HaOlam. But if you needed to, right, you might have a little bit of latitude if you discovered a discrepancy, that something that you thought took place in a certain year really had taken place 3 years later than you expected it to be, so then you can always account for that discrepancy by arguing that some of Adam Arishon's descendants were born in the middle of the year, and then the next generation was born at the beginning of the following year, and that way you've gotten yourself an extra year, and you actually have quite a bit of latitude in order to account if you were to find any discrepancies. So if you just look down the list, you'll see, again, check my arithmetic, that we know exactly from the Psukim that Adam was a certain year age when Shais was born, and Shais was a certain age when Enosh was born, and so on for Canaan, Mahalalel, Yared, Chanuch, Mesushelach, Lemech, and Noach. Right? But we don't know how old Noach was when Shem was born, or we don't know it explicitly. The pasuk never says Noach was such and such a number of years old and Shem was born. Instead, what we know is that Noach was 600 years old when the Mabel came, and we also know that the oldest son of Shem, whose name was Arpachshad, was born 2 years after the Mabel. And so therefore we can figure out that if Noach was 600 in the time of the Mabel, that would make the Mabel in the year 1656, and Arpachshad would have been born 2 years afterwards in the year 1658. I have the chart here also, but I'm constructing my own, right, based on the Psukim, and I'm just trying to show that just like the Sefer HaTodah gives you something that this is the absolute, right? Based, but if you look at the sources, sometimes there's a measure of uncertainty, right? And the reason that we say this is the absolute is because this is the most likely, this is the most consistent with the tradition and the practice that we keep.
Okay.
So then we can go on. From Arpachshad, we have again a consistent list in Perek Yud Aleph of Bereishis, Arpachshad, and how old was he when Shelach was born, and how old was Shelach when Eber was born, all the way down to Yaakov. And then when it comes to Yaakov, we again are faced with an uncertainty. We don't know how old Yaakov was when each of the Shvatim were born. There is no pasuk that tells us Yaakov was a certain age when Reuven was born, Yaakov was a certain age when Shimon was born, Yaakov was a certain age when Levi was born. And so therefore, what we have to do is, we know, all that we know about Yaakov is that he was 130 years old when he went down to Mitzrayim and he met Paro. 130 calendar years, 130 years from the day that he was born until the day that he stood before Paro, not really clear. It could be 129 and 2 days. It could be 130 and 364 days. That's not 100% clear. But we know he says he was 130 years old. And so we know, therefore, that Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim in the year 2238. Now, in Mitzrayim, we spent 210 years. There's no pasuk anywhere that says that we spent 210 years in Mitzrayim. The best that we can get is that there is a gematria. It says redu, which is gematria 210. And so we see hinted that the Jews were to spend 210 years in Mitzrayim. But if anything, what the psukim say explicitly is that the Jews spent 430 years in Mitzrayim. From the time of the Bris B'in HaBesarim, it's more likely, except that we don't really know when the Bris B'in HaBesarim was. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah when the Bris B'in HaBesarim was. He was 70, if you assume that he went to Eretz Yisrael, and then he went back to Haran, and then he went back to Eretz Yisrael, because we know that he was 75.
Only the Rashi, it's not explicit.
Right, but the Ramban disagrees. Right? So basically, we have a pasuk that says that the Jews spent 430 years in Mitzrayim, and we also have a pasuk in the Bris B'in HaBesarim where God tells Abraham that a foreign nation is going to enslave and oppress your descendants for 400 years. And so there's this discrepancy that God told Abraham 400, and the pasuk says 430, and so there's a whole range of opinions for how to resolve this. Some people say, Chishiv es haketz, meaning
400 minus 190. Ketz is 190.
It was supposed to be 400, but because the Jews weren't on their best behavior in Mitzrayim, it was drawn out to 430. That's the approach of the Kli Yakar. Right? The Ramban takes a similar approach, and he says that it was supposed to be, it wasn't supposed to be 400. 400 was an approximation. God said around 400 years. But God also said that it's only going to finish when the Avon HaEmori is full, when Nismalei Sa'asam. And so therefore it could be, right, God included an element of uncertainty in his promise to Abraham. It didn't have to be 400 years. It's approximately 400 years, because that's approximately how long it will take for the Avon HaEmori to be Shalem. And it ended up that it took 430 years instead of the Jews being not on their best behavior. The Amorim were on better behavior than might have been expected, and so therefore it ended up being 430 years because the Amorim merited an extra 30 years. According to both of these calculations, so the date of Yetzias Mitzrayim shouldn't be 2,448, but rather it should be 2,478. Because there's this extra 30 years. It's not that they spent 210 years in Egypt. It's that they spent 240 years in Egypt. There's these extra 30 years. So that's something that needs to be dealt with. Now, there are other approaches. Should I stop now and pick up tomorrow? Okay. So there are other approaches to resolving this.
He's in the house.
Okay, so here's what we'll do. We'll quickly go through just to get to one approximation of the year of the Korban, and then we'll pick up, we'll review the end, what we're going to cover in the next 2 minutes, we'll review at the beginning of tomorrow. So let's just do the calculations. So if Yetzias Mitzrayim was 2448, and it says in Sefer Melachim that the first Beis HaMikdash was built 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim, so that takes you to 2928. And the first Beis HaMikdash stood for 410 years. We have to figure out where we know that from. That takes you to 3,338. Then there were 70 years of Galus Bavel. That takes you to 3,408. 420 years of the second Beis HaMikdash takes you to 3,828. So just again, back to our first chart. Right, up until now, we were assuming 3,830 to place it at Motsa'ei Shavuos. Right, or we said, according to Rashi and the Rosh, 3,829, so that the Churban took place in Shemitah, but the first year which didn't have a Beis HaMikdash was Motsa'ei Shavuos, was 3,830. We saw that according to the second answer of the Gemara Arachin, we were released from the necessity of situating the Churban in the year after Shemitah, and so therefore we had the luxury of saying it was the sixth year of a Shemitah cycle, which could be 3,828. 3,828 is most consistent with this chronology that starts from Adam HaRishon and extends all the way down to the Churban Bayis Sheni, using again these numbers of 480, 410, 70, and 420, and assuming that all of the descendants of Adam were born on Rosh Hashanah, or close enough to Rosh Hashanah, right? But we might, and this we'll try to look into this tomorrow, we pointed out that there might be a certain measure of latitude when it comes to establishing the dates, because all of these dates are established based on the parents who was how old when their son was born. And it could be that if the son was born in Nisan, the next one was born in Tishrei, that you could get 1 year for every two generations that you're counting. You might be able to add on an extra year, and so that might give us a latitude that we need to push the Korban up by 2 years if we need, in order to be consistent with the Brais and Arachin. But there are a number of difficulties with that, so Mirtz Hashem, we'll continue with this tomorrow.